You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And in our study of late, we are looking at the conditions of the world, and we were reminded and refreshed by understanding that all the nations are under the God of this world. They are evil. Evil is a general thing, word, that tells us that God is left out. When God is left out, there is no good, and all you're left with is evil. And the heart, unsaved heart, before you get saved, is evil. Mark chapter 7. It's evil. So evil is it means God is missing. And when God is missing, all the benefits of God are missing. And there's darkness and death. Therefore, we have spent time, and God has given us a wonderful example to understand how to understand being in the middle of evil and darkness. And David is telling us, helping us understand that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, pitch blackness, I will fear no evil. I'm in the middle of evil and darkness because God is with us. God is with him. And God gives you the illustration by one of his servants, and in particular, the servant of many servants, and that is David. David, why David? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the son of David. He's the son of David. And he went and did something wonderful for us. And David is the back here pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. Now, in the light of that, Isaiah 53, and we share together God as the creator. He's created all things, and all things are for his creation, and he wills it. That's why it happens. God wills, God desires it to happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. So God makes it happen, because he wills it to be so. And everything, there's nothing he does that he doesn't will, his volition, make a decision, desire to do it. And it is God's will for us to be saved. And it is God's pleasure to save us. So Isaiah 53, way back there, before the cross, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And you've got the word please in front, please the Lord. The pleasure of the Lord at the end. He was pleased. God the Father was pleased to crucify God the Son. He was pleased to do so. It was the will of God to do so. And the Lord Jesus Christ will say, I delight to do thy will. He responds, God's pleasure to do something. And the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, responds properly. He is pleased of what God, if God is pleased, the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased. And you remember in John 8 and 28, that everything for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our Lord pleased God in his perfect humanity. At night, at morning, every day, he pleased God. And so he sets the example for us, so that we're to enjoy the will of God in the midst of the devil's will and the world's will and everything else out there and all the evil out there everywhere. We're living in the middle of it. And David, you got to help us some more. So here we are looking, and David, so I keep rounding everything off, David gives us in his old age, like in Psalm 23, over to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, you will note, this is David again. I'm letting David just bounce around for your little heart and your head, all about David. Because God said, David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, David, tell me how it works. He's a live, real person that went through it all. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses him because he goes through it all. That's why we're able to be saved, because God wills it to be saved. Then we have to want to, well, what do we need to do? Want, we need to desire God's will. It's God's pleasure to save anybody. But not anybody wants to be saved all the time. And they don't want to be saved sometime. For many reasons, they have many things. It isn't a question. Here we're in the presence of God, seeking to exercise his word. Of all the words, of all the books, and all the words that are spoken by the 7.8 plus billion people. And then you have in front of you God's word. God's word in your Bible. Of all the words and all the thoughts and talk. And then there's God's word. Millions of books. And then there's God's book. Now, having said that, Psalm 37, picking up so we see it, David's going to give us some help. We need some help. David, we want to understand, what is it like to walk in the valley of the shadow of death? What is it like to say you fear no evil? And what is it like to have God with you? And David's going to help us understand, because he went through it, and God uses him in the most wonderful way. Psalm 37, and picking up, please, in verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. So David's old, and he's going to give us some help. That's what Psalm 37 is about. Psalm 37 is going to give you some help. How to do it. He's going to give you some instructions, David is. So therefore, looking, if we can, in verse 1 very quickly, but get the flavor of it, because I want to get somewhere, may not, but at least try. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So people are doing all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. Not in the light of God's word, not in the light of God's will. They're doing what they will. And God has allowed it. God allows all of it to exist. God allows the nations to exist and to do what they do. It isn't in the will of God, but the believing heart should be in the will of God. They aren't, but the believing heart ought to be in the will of God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, fret not thyself. And the word fret is cause. Don't you do it. Don't be fretful, to glow, to burn, to be very fretful, excited, to be all stirred up inside in your mind and heart, and burning, anger, bitter, just trying to figure everything out, saying, why is that, and why is this, and what do I do about that, and all of that happens in our little head and heart, and we get all fretted up. And so what is the admonition, David? What's the first thing you tell us? Don't get all upset about everything. Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your cool. You get all upset, you'll lose it. Don't do that. And that word, verb, is going to be used three times. Three times, you'll see it in verse 7, fret not thyself. You'll see it in verse 8, fret not thyself. So, don't lose your cool. David was hunted. David was wanted. They wanted to kill him. David was betrayed. all the list, line, big long list, David fumbled and fell. God, that's David. That's David. David says, listen, when all of life, when it's all said and done, don't get all upset about everything. Just don't do that, because it won't work out very good at all. So now, having said that, don't get upset. And for reason, verse 2, they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So don't get all caught up in everything, in the sense that somehow that they seem to survive. No, they aren't going to survive. And you know that from Ecclesiastes and that. Though a man live 100 years, and you only lived X years, though a man live 100 years and do evil, don't envy him. Don't envy him. Eternity's a long time. 100 years is a dot. Eternity's a long time. So if I let somebody live 100 years, 110 years, and they don't believe, they don't want to believe, they mock God, it's all right. God said, don't get upset. Don't lose it, what's going on. And lots of things are going on to be upsetting. And the things that are going to be upsetting are the things that are happening are going to lead to the next things. So you say, well, this doesn't matter. This isn't so critical. But where A leads to B, to C, to D, that you won't like. But you got to go from A. We got A, B going on. So the next thing, the sequence. So I'm not concerned. When you get to see a little water coming out of the dam and the wall of the water, of the dam, I suggest we do a little examination and check. If we don't check, pretty soon there'll be a lot of water. So when you get a little clue something's going on, that's what we're doing. We've been given plenty of notice. So therefore, are we taking advantage of the notice? And now, having said that, so here's Psalm 37, and don't be envious. And then it gives those wonderful things that you want to just lock on to. And we'll do them in front of each other for ourselves, because they're lovely, lovely little things. Every now and then, just sit and read them and let them sink in. Let's see what they are. David, what did you tell us? Trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 3. And the word trust is a command. It means to hang upon something, to rely upon something, to trust in something, be confident in. Trust in the Lord, it's a command. And do good, and do good. And interestingly, without doing all of it, think of the word good. And when you think of this word good in front of you in verse 3, think of the word beautiful, beautiful, good, suitable, agreeable. It's beautiful. Do that which is beautiful, pleasant. I use the word because it's right. Cheerful. Be cheerful. Do good. That is, enjoy doing good. Enjoy it. Let it be a pleasure to you to do good. To do what God has in mind. To do it. And be thankful. Thankful in everything. Be pleased. God's pleased to be our God. And we should be pleased that He's pleased. And to outwork His will and His pleasure in our life each moment, which is what we're working on. So therefore, trust in the Lord and do good. Be agreeable, be an easy way to remember it. Do good, be agreeable. Be agreeable what God wants done. Trust in the Lord and do good, be agreeable. So shall thou dwell in the land, and in verse 3, and verily thou shalt be fed. And easy to say, think of that, understand. Feed. When you're in God's will, doing, being pleased with God's will, God's going to go. And in God's will for Israel, be in the land. For us believers are in God's will, and verily, trust, let, say it, feed on God's faithfulness. Feed on God's commitment to be faithful, to take care of you. Feed on it, and you'll be fed. If you trust God with all your heart, he'll feed. You know what? God's going to be faithful. To what? To do his will. But the world, it doesn't matter what anyone wants. God calls the shots. So, having said that, that part's easy. And the second thing, chapter 37, and picking up, if I can, in verse 4. Delight thyself. You do it. You be delighting. You be doing the work. You cause it to happen. Go to be tender, to be pleasure-loving, to be loving luxury, to be loving pleasure. Pleasure in all of its senses. Wonderful pleasure. To be pleased. Delight thyself. Let God enjoy, say another way, you'll get it easier. Delight thyself. Enjoy the luxury of God. God isn't stingy or cheap or limited. God is luxurious, multiplies. Let God's luxury, God's wonderful benefits, delight yourself. Enjoy luxury. Enjoy the luxury of God, and you got it. Enjoy the luxury of God. That's what to do. God loves to be God. It is his pleasure to be God. And he wants you to be pleased that he is your God. And that it is a pleasure to you to have God's pleasure in your life. Wow. So therefore, in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Be delighting yourself. And by the way, just if you want to see that a little more, not too much, hold your finger here, over to Isaiah and chapter 55. And you'll see it a little different way. Let me pick it up to get the fullness of it a little bit. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. 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 And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Do good. Enjoy. Be agreeing with all of God's wonderful things. And delight yourself. Be delighted. Enjoy the luxury of God in fatness, fullness. Think of Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled. Not half empty, not half a glass, not three quarters of a glass. Full glass. There's no room for anything else. It's full. Now, back over, if I can, Psalm 37. So, going to trust in the Lord, and verily thou shalt be fed. God's wonderful faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's what he's going to do, the desires, the petitions. It means to penetrate in, to like digging for something. Looking for something, digging, penetrating, getting the verb, to penetrate, to dig, to urge, ask, looking for something. Looking, what are you looking for? God? We're looking for, ask to petition. In verse 4, he shall give thee the desires, the petitions, what you're looking for. Well, what are you looking for? Good question. What are you looking for? I'm looking for God's will. I'm looking for God's will. And you know, without turning that, you know that. Think of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. Whatever you ask, whatever you're asking, looking, you want God's will, verse 14, 1 John, and you already have the petitions that you desired of him, even though you got empty hands, All you did is do the asking. You haven't even lived the next 10 minutes, but God already is there. And you want that. That's the word. That's the word. The desires of thine heart. You want that. What does your heart want? Really, what does my heart really want in my life? See, if you want God. But not everyone wants God. No, not many do. They could, but they don't. And it's up to them. Like we said the other day, Alan said the other day or something said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't do that. You have to want a drink. You have to want it. I don't want it. But then you won't get it. I don't like that. Then you won't have it. And God doesn't push that on anybody, does he? He doesn't force it. You remember all those things. When God called all those men to be his apostles, disciples, he called them. And he never called them twice. He always said only once, follow me. And he never said it again. And so either you did, that's why they never went home, never said goodbye to their wives or anything. They just dropped their net and off they went following him. And God honored it. God took care of all the loose pieces. You'd say, well, boy, look at all the loose ends. Who's going to take care of your fishing net? Not a question. Not a question of that. And when God takes us home, coming up pretty quick here, it won't be too quick coming up, God will take care of all the details. All the details will be taken care of. In a most wonderful way. Say, everything's got to be confusing. No, God will just put everything in order and remove them. That's what God's going to do. Now, God, it's an awesome thing that you're doing. So therefore, God, we're going to be trusting in you to have the wonderful faithfulness of your taking care of us. And verse 4, we're going to delight ourselves. We're going to delight ourselves in being pleased also in the Lord. And you're going to give us the desires of our heart. That's what you're going to do. So you want God's will? Delight thyself in God. It's not hard. Say what I want. What I want. I want you, God. I want you to be pleased, God. That's what I want. I want you to be pleased. And God said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. It is my pleasure to be pleased. And if you want me, you want my pleasure, you will have it. Wow. My will. Now, so therefore, sliding along, if I can, and picking up, please, in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. That's the same word as up in verse 3, trust in the Lord, hold on to things, hold, rely, hold on to, rely upon. And here it is now, up in verse 3, you'll notice, trust in the Lord, and you trust in the Lord, be trusting in the Lord, and do, verse 3. Coming down to verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So in verse 3, we're trusting in order to what it do, and in verse 5, God's trusting. We're trusting, and God's going to do. We do, God does. Pretty good. Now, in verse 5, commit thy way, it's a command again, to fall, to roll upon, to cast upon, to take pleasure in, handing something to somebody else. And the easy way to remember that, an easy way to do it, is to go and just think of a wagon, and you've got the big barrels, you can just see them, and you're what you're going to do. You're going to take those big barrels, and you're not going to carry them. What you're going to do is going to roll, R-O-L-L, you're going to roll those barrels up onto the wagon. You're going to roll them, casting, roll it up, rolling up, commit the barrel to the wagon. Commit the barrel, let the wagon carry the load. That's the word. Commit. And you'll see it. Hold your finger here again if you like. Over in Proverbs. And Proverbs, if I can. in chapter 16, as you know. All kinds of ways to do these things. And in Proverbs chapter 16, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 3. 16:3. Commit is your little word, verb. Commit, roll it on, roll away, to roll on to, pass on to some other thing, other person. Commit thy works, what you have, unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Roll all that you have to do tomorrow, all that you have to do today, roll it on the Lord. You're looking for God to outwork the next day, the next hour, at work, at home, at school. Roll that onto the Lord. You're looking for God to work it out. You want His will. And whatever it is you think you have to do, you want His will to be worked out as it happens. And as it happens, as you trust, you're giving God that ahead of time, looking to God, God will establish your thoughts. And instead of worrying about it and wondering about it, did I do the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? How shall I do the right thing? Nope. Because you're giving it to God, your work, your home, your car, your driving, whatever you're doing, looking to God. And you do that. And when you do that, God said, commit thy works. Your thoughts will be established. That's what they're going to be. I'll take care of your thinking. And you won't worry, you won't be so disappointed, discouraged, depressed. It won't happen. No, because you're looking to me. You're trusting in me. You're going to look to me. You aren't trying to carry the barrel. The wagon's carrying the barrel. That's what you're going to do. So you don't have to worry about how the barrel and heavy it is or how it's going to arrive where it's supposed to. No, you just make sure you give it and put it in the right place for the right reasons. So sliding over to chapter 3, Proverbs. And if I can, Proverbs chapter 3, and picking up, please, you know it, in chapter 3, starting in verse 4. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust, there's your little word, a command. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, there's that, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, your ways, acknowledge him. God, we're going to roll our way upon the Lord, and God is going to commit thy way unto the Lord, and thy thoughts to be established. So God, what are we going to do? Well, in verse 6 again, we're going to, verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So we're going to look to God to outwork whatever he's doing. It isn't hard, it isn't complicated. It's just simply done. That's all. You follow the simple thing. Use your whatever you understand, as much as you understand it, and you do it. And if you don't, life's pretty simple. And you'll enjoy the trip. But if you leave God out, then it gets sort of everything. You have to work it out, and you have to carry it, and you hope other people work it out, and you've got evil days and evil workers and things that are not very good, not very smart of what's going on, and the consequences are going to be what they're going to be. So that's what they're going to be. You have to wait, let them happen, and that's what's going to happen. So now, having said that, in verse 6, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So that's pretty good. God, we're going to go back over to Psalm 37. We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to delight ourselves also in the Lord. We're going to commit our way unto the Lord, and God will make it happen. God makes the pass. He's going to make it happen. That's what God's going to do in a most wonderful way. So God's going to make all of that happen. For his honor and for his glory. And his ways are all worthy of looking, we ought to be looking to his way to work out his way in our life. And God's going to bring it to pass, and God's going to make happen all those wonderful things that he has in mind. And they're wonderful from God's point of view. You and I may not see them. We read it in the beginning in Isaiah 53. God was pleased crucifying his son. His son was pleased in going to the cross and being crucified for you and me. So we could have something. It isn't cheap. It's awfully expensive. Awfully expensive. In fact, it's unheard of. It can't be. Normally, you're right, it can't be, except it's something God did that is past understanding. God gave himself on Calvary's cross. That is beyond our understanding. And that's why God, back in that time, shrouded it like a black shroud over a casket. God dropped darkness over the land at that time. He dropped like the black cloth you have over a funeral. He dropped the blackness over it. He said, you aren't going to see this. You aren't even going to understand this. Wow. Now, most people don't care. But, God, we're catching on. So therefore, bring it to pass. And sliding down, if I can, in the light of all that, picking up, please, in verse 7. Rest, we aren't going to get where we're going, but a little bit. These are little things. Sometime when you just something to do, read them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Read them. And say thank you, thank you, thank you. And God will take care of. God's going to do what? God's going to take care of me. Verse 3. God's going to do and give me the desires. I want God's will. And I'm not going to be disappointed because that's what I want. I want what God has in mind. And that's what God's going to do. And when I commit my way unto him, how it's going to work out, God said it's going to work out. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to bring it to pass. So when we come to verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so again, here we are looking, and in the process, you follow that with fret not thyself in this way, because of the man that bringeth evil devices to pass. So don't get all upset. No. Rest in the Lord. And rest in the Lord, that's what we're going to do. And remember, the word rest in the Lord means to keep it equal, balanced like a scale, balanced the road, make the road level, no bumps in it, a nice smooth road, make the road level, even, quiet, composed, even, level, and all those different words that help us to wait for God, to look to God, to be composed, waiting on God. And in the process, we're resting in God's wonderful grace. It's a command again. All those are commands to be doing. Do what I tell you to do, said David. God said, I'm telling you how it works, said David. Do it. And therefore, rest in the Lord, and in resting in the Lord, being still composed, and you know, in all of those things, just to remind yourself again, that wonderful little verb, rest, sliding over, if I can, to Exodus chapter 15. And you will remember, we say it, but you're going to remember it. Exodus chapter 15, and picking up, if I may, in Moses' song, and looking to God's wonderful conquest in the nations to come, and picking up if I can, in verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth this people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into thy holy habitation. The people hear and stand. Be afraid, people shall hear and be afraid. A sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia, and them of the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. In other words, all the journey that you're going to go through, Israel, through all of those enemies, don't be afraid. They're all there. Now, and what do we need to know, God? What back then? Back then, chapter 15, Exodus. Go on if I can. Chapter 15, in verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them, which it did. It did, remember. You can't interfere. If God says it will, God's going to do it. And that's what you want in your life. And God loves to do it. And that doesn't mean stupendous things. It just means he'll keep everything faithful in your life of all that he has in mind to work out. So verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Now again, remember the little word you're looking at, rest in the Lord. And here it is in verse 16, as you know. And they shall be, middle of the verse, they shall be as still as a stone. And that's the word still, rest, still as a stone. And I got a little stone just for illustration, not to throw at you. Here's a stone. Tell the stone to move. Jump. Yell at the stone. Offer the stone something. Do something. Does the stone respond? Be still as a stone. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Still. Still. But still. Do it again. Over, if you would, in your Bible. Oh, and just think it without turning there. Over in Psalm 107, you don't have to turn there. In Psalm 107 it says, and the storm and everything, and the storm, and God said, and he took the storm, and the storm became a calm. Big storm, calm. Quiet. Still as a stone. Do it another way. Psalm, this one. Back into Psalms. In that sense, Psalm chapter 4. Psalm in chapter 4. To be still, God's wonderful calm. Here's Psalm number 4. And if I may. And David. Think of how many things David has written. God used him, like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote all kinds of things. And God used David. David was this man. That's his penman. Yeah, he's the son of David, and he's the son of David. Now, Psalm 4, and therefore, picking up, if I can, in verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still as a stone. Quiet. We gotta have. No, you know, gotta have. Quiet. We gotta have noise. I gotta have something. No. Still. Quiet. But I gotta have. No, you know, I gotta have. You gotta be still to listen. Quiet. But, wow. Be still as a stone. And be still. Stand in awe and be still. And be still. That's a command again. Commune with God. Look to God. Outwork things with God. Over to Psalm 131. And David, what are you going to do? Again, Psalm 131. Picking up, please, in verse 1. David, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother, and my soul even as a weaned child. I'm content. That's what David said. But David, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and evil was there, but God's there. His rod and his staff, as we shared, will comfort him. God said, I'm quiet. Can you be quiet? Hang on. All of that will come together each time, over and over again. And while you're thinking of that, and you know all that, over, if you would, please, to over to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 will do it. Picking up in thought, if I may. And in Psalm 62, picking up in Psalm 62 and in what did I start to say? Verse 2. I'll read verse 1. Surely my soul waiteth upon God, said David. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I'm going to go, verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, evildoers. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. Now, David, you're in the middle of evil. David, what did you say, God, to us? The world hates you because it hates me. I didn't tell you they might hate you. They do hate you. They don't hate your old nature. They hate your new relationship to me. And you have to understand that. Being saved, that God, the world system hates that. That's evil. Evil hates good. Evil hates God in you. And the Lord didn't give you a guess you'll avoid it. He said they just will hate you. They just plain hate you. If you let God have a centerpiece in your life, you'll find that the world isn't quite so happy as you think they are with you. Because you what? You want conforming to their form. That's what they want now. Fear, and then go and control, and then conform. So God, here we are looking, and God, you're going to go in a most wonderful way, and God, we're going to look to you to outwork that which you do. And God, and verse 2, he only is my rock, my salvation, and hence my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 5, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm waiting, resting, being still. Wait, be still. I'm waiting. Wow. And in the process of waiting, over if you can, in the light of all of that, picking up if I can, back over to Psalm 37. Going to go and look to God helping us in the process to wait on the Lord. And in verse 37, chapter 37, I should say, sliding to verse 6, rest in the Lord, be still, and wait patiently for him. And then, fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Everything's around you. Nothing changes. The world's doing what it's doing. Your old flesh does what it does. But now the word rest, remember to be still as a stone. And we have at the moment, I think, unless it's disappeared, I think there's a rather active hurricane down in the Gulf. A hurricane down there. And what do you know about a hurricane? We don't have many of them up here to experience them. But those of you who have gone through a hurricane, What do you know? We've had them come. Here comes the hurricane. Big storm. And what do you know? In the middle of a hurricane, there's the eye, called the eye. Here's the big hurricane, and in the middle of it is stillness. And I remember you have probably done it. It's interesting. Here comes the hurricane, and then it's, you missed. Here's the, come the first part, and you hit the eye of the hurricane, and you go stand outside. Sunlight might even be shining, and you go and have lunch and everything. Have a little picnic and do everything out there. And it's just as still as a stone. Huh. Now, the next word helps us. Waiting. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And that word patiently means to wrap yourself around. And like if you were going to tie up your pack or something, wrap it around, you'd wrap it around, wrap the rope around a piece of something to lock it in, to hold it, wrap the rope around. Wrap it around. Now we've got the hurricane. Still as a stone in the middle. And all around it are the awesome winds. And that hurricane gives you the whole verse, rest and wait patiently for the Lord. Just think of the hurricane. And you'll have the verses. Wait. Wrap yourself around God. Boy, you aren't messing around. Nope, not messing around. Nope. Going to wrap yourself around God. Uh-huh, that's what you're doing. No messing around. You're going to hang on. Hold tight, trust. You're going to wrap yourself around. And in the middle, you'll be still as a stone. And you got the hurricane. Wow.